Ah, a little racing music, or at least racing-sounding music, to get you in the mood to talk about Road America Raceway. Our guest coming up, I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Our guest is John Ewart. He is the communications director for Road America, and we're going to be talking with him about some upcoming events. We're going to talk with him about the track's history and some of the precautions that are being taken to keep everybody safe. Are you a fan of Road America? What type of racing do you like to watch? Love to hear from you. Join in at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. John Ewart, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. Well, I think, you know, we were just talking about the Brewers turning 50, but Road America is even older than the Brewers.
65 years. We just are celebrating our 65th anniversary this year. Started in 1955. Road America was founded by a group of entrepreneurs and Cliff Tufte here in Elkhart Lake. A lot of local SCCA racers at the time, and they actually walked the landscape, the natural terrain here in the Kettle Moraine, and formed the racetrack. 4 miles and 14 turns, and 65 years of memories and history in the making.
Oh, man. It's. I'm looking at a picture of the track right now, and I've been there and to watch racing, and it's a great a place. Setting for a track.
What's really incredible about it is that you can be, you know, this is probably the only racetrack in North America where you can have grass under your feet and shade tree over your head and still be watching some of the most incredible racers in the world battle it out on the racetrack in sort of its natural environment. I mean, a lot of people, the big misconception is, when they think racetrack, they think a dirt track, like a quarter mile or a half mile, even an asphalt. A lot of, you know, heavy, hot grandstands. And Road America is not the case. We're called America's National Park of Speed for a reason, because when there's not race cars running on the track, you do feel like you're in a park. And that's what's really great about it and why people love coming back for so many years.
Yeah. Well, so for those who aren't familiar with this type of racing, talk about the kinds of racing events you have at Road America.
Well, we do every form of racing there is. We're probably the most dynamic road course in the United States. Again, 4 miles, 14 turns, everything from SCCA racing to vintage racing. We're talking about cars, all the way to motorcycles and even vintage motorcycles. So when you think about a major race series, NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, SCCA, Moto America, they all come here. And that's what's really incredible about Road America is that not only will you see almost every single major series racing throughout our events during the summer and the season, but you'll also see almost every single type of car that's really ever raced. When you look at our vintage races, some of the entries are cars that have raced in the Indy 500. They've raced in Le Mans. They've raced overseas, and they're still racing today because these vintage racers are essentially stewards and managers and maintainers of these beautiful vintage machines. So if you love NASCAR, if you love stadium super trucks, if you love IndyCar, if you love motorcycles, we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com to find out what their favorite type of racing is and come back. And again, when you think about it, a season pass is probably the most affordable option because you can see everything for almost less than $10 a day when it comes to the events. And that's some pretty incredible entertainment, especially in today's world.
Yeah, I have a friend who she and her husband go to many events there, and they have a camper that they take, and they stay right there on the grounds.
Yeah, if you're really thinking about a family vacation, especially in today's new normal, as they say, Road America is the perfect place to do it. We are 640 acres. We have tons of campsites available. We also do camping during some of our non-event weekends. And what's great about it is that you can get a campsite and you can wake up in the morning to race cars on track. The kids can be playing Frisbee on our disc golf course. They can take mom, can take the kids over to our karting track for public karting. You can roam about the facility. And it's really incredible because we encourage people to stay and play at Road America. Like you said, when the cars aren't running on track, you feel like you're staying at a national park. So campers are encouraged. And we love our campers. We love our fans. We get a lot of comments from some racers where when they round through turns 9 and 10, commonly known as the carousel, they can smell the brats cooking on the grill. And some of them are like, hey, man, I just want to pull over and it smells so good, whatever they're making over there in turn 10, but still they got about four or five more turns to go. And that's what the racers love too, is we get a lot of racers that actually stay at the track with their families. And it's a benefit for our campers when you have a famous name such as Andretti or Joseph Newgarden or, you know, Alexander Rossi come riding through the campgrounds on their scooter and saying hi to the fans, maybe sharing a adult beverage or two. So that's a memory that a lot of people take with them.
There's driving and riding schools. What's being taught there?
Yeah, absolutely. Road America, again, with its diversity, we have over 500 events during the summer, and we also host riding schools and driving schools. So if you've ever wanted to get your motorcycle license, if you've ever wanted to learn all of the performance characteristics of your vehicle, let's say that you're somewhat of a gearhead or, you know, a motorhead, and you bought a nice new car and you just really want to sort of understand it a little bit better, we offer everything from beginner to advanced motorcycle schools, from first time you're throwing a leg over a motorcycle to advanced schools, to learning more about turning and braking and collision avoidance. Driving schools much the same way. We offer teen driving courses to give your teenagers more confidence behind the wheel in collision avoidance, how to avoid texting and driving, how to drive better on snow and ice. And we also have driving schools for sports cars, for people who are beginner, and all the way up to advanced, for people who really want to wring out their own cars. We encourage people to bring their own cars, but also we have Road America vehicles for those as well. So if you're anything that matches wheels to pavement, we have a school for that as well. And sometimes even our off-road courses, when it comes to supermoto and off-road dirt biking, we have that too.
Well, I was trying to think of who might not be eligible, but pretty much whatever your interest, you probably have a chance to participate in one of those classes.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, our karting club is growing by leaps and bounds as well on our kart track, the T-Tech Manufacturing Motorplex, which is inside the facility. So if you think about a lot of up-and-coming racers here in Wisconsin, a lot of them cut their teeth on our karting track, and you'll see kids everywhere from 6 years old all the way to 60, you know, grown men and some of their senior groups racing go-karts. And it's an incredible way for the family to get involved in racing, learn about racing, and for kids to jumpstart their career. So there really is truly something for everybody here at Road America.
Yeah, I've got a friend who likes to kart there. he loves doing it. That's for sure. Well,
yeah. Not only with racing, but we also have 4 miles of fitness every Monday and Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. You can walk, bike, or run the track for only $5. So it's a great way for families to get out, get some exercise in a safe environment where people can spread out and they can get a lot of exercise in. I get a lot of friends who say that last turn going up the front straight is kind of a bear. It's definitely an uphill climb on a bicycle, but it's a great workout. So it's a great, safe, affordable way when you look at so many gyms being closed due to COVID-19. To still come out here and enjoy the racetrack, whether you're a racer or not.
Well, you know, it amazes me all the different things that are going on there. It certainly wasn't always that way when it got started. I don't imagine that even the people who started it never imagined so many different things.
Yeah, they really didn't. But what's interesting is that we listen very closely to our fans, and we try to provide all sorts of different amenities for our fans. We've upgraded our concessions areas. We've upgraded a lot of our viewing areas with natural rock so that people can spread out and enjoy the racetrack. There's lots of paved trails back along Turn 11. Again, people love to sit under the trees. We've added 7 jumbo screens throughout the property so people can keep in touch with what's going on track. We've upgraded our PA system. We've upgraded our restrooms, our hand sanitizer stations, and our portable restrooms. A lot of signage throughout the property. And it's the perfect place to social distance, especially in today's new normal, because 640 acres, everybody can be dedicated to 6 feet or more for themselves and their family.
Oh, man. Talking today with John Ewart, who is the communications director for Road America. And certainly there's an opportunity this year. There are lots of races. We're going to talk about some of the races that are coming up, something coming up right this weekend that we'll be visiting about. And you'll be able to call in with your own questions and comments and maybe your experiences to share. If you visited Road America, what do you like about it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We are going to take a quick look at the news, the weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the IdeasNet, and then we will be back with John Ewart. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking about road racing at Road America today, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is John Ewart, the communications director for Road America. What have been your experiences at the track? Give us a call. Maybe you've got a memory to share. 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And some callers online, so I think we'll go to the phones, and let's go to Jan first in Vilas County. Jan, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. I'm wondering if there's any information on prior to when they built the actual track, because they used to run on the county roads. And my uncle lived at on that road where there was a corner, and I remember going as a small child to watch some of the racing, and they had haystacks all along the road for safety where that corner, where they had a turn. So, it didn't start just with building a track and they will come. There was racing on the county roads prior to building the track.
Oh. Jan, thanks for calling. John, comment on that.
Absolutely. She's exactly correct. Racing did start in Wisconsin in the early 50s. And then when there were some accidents over in New York on county roads, there were a lot of laws enacted. Now, there weren't really any deaths based on racing through Elkhart Lake, but there is a website called Historical Race Circuit. So we encourage people to check out HRC, and they can get more history about when cars actually raced through Elkhart Lake. Additionally, the village of Elkhart Lake has a lot of historical markers, and the original race courses are mapped out that people can drive and read these historical markers, such as Briggs Bend and Dickens Ditch. And over by Siepkins Resort, there's also the famed original start-finish from the races in the early 50s before Road America was formed. So Historical Race Circuits is the best source for that information before Road America began, and they can check that out online. Just Google Historical Race Circuits or go to HRC. And that's a great question, because that's really how a lot of racing began, is as soldiers returned from World War II and they brought back sports cars from England and Britain, such as MGs and Triumphs and various cars of the like. They all wanted a place to race them. And you also had a lot of pilots that were still needing that need for speed. And they raced sports cars on county roads back in the day. And that's when racetracks and even NASCAR was formed in the early 50s. So that's really sort of the inception of it all.
Jan, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's turn to Robin in Elmwood next. Hi, Robin.
Hello. My question is about track marshals. I've been a recent new interest in sports car racing, and I like to get involved as a track marshal, and I don't know how.
Well, that's another really good question. You know, we have a lot of track marshals, and what we like to say is flaggers. It's very exciting. You can obviously contact Road America at 1-800-365-7223, and you'll be directed to our safety team. Our track marshals do a tremendous job of not only keeping our racers safe with various yellow flags, red flags, and notifying people when there's things going on the course, but they also manage our grid. They manage our entry lists for a lot of our club events. And it's a great way, if you're involved, interested in racing, to get more involved. And we always need more track marshals, more corner workers, more people. So we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com, call 1-800-365-7223, or send an email to info@roadamerica.com, and we will be in touch with you. It's a great way to spend the summer. It's a great way to also earn a little extra money. And it's a great way to be up close and personal to some world-class racing in various forms by being a track marshal or a corner worker at America's National Park of Speed.
So, Robin, thanks. Now, somebody's already asking, what does a track marshal do? What does a corner person do?
Well, track marshals and corner workers do a number of things. They actually monitor the cars on track. Case in point, you can have video cameras everywhere and television cameras, but you can't smell if oil's burning on a manifold, and you can't see if fluid is leaking out from underneath the car. Sometimes it's also tough to see if a tire is going down, or maybe if somebody lost a part on a car. So they are the eyes and ears of our racers with keeping our racers safe. Now, let's say if a car goes off course and has an incident, they also can radio in where the incident occurred, direct our safety team to that incident so that they can render aid to the driver or potentially tow the car off the track. So they do quite a bit. Additionally, they help monitor the track if something's going on, whether it's a green flag. If something happens, they are able to wave the yellow flag to warn drivers of something going on around the turn, or even a red flag if a race is stopped. There's a myriad of colors of flags available. Every flag has a different meaning. We know the obvious ones as far as green and red and yellow, but they do that as well. So it's constant communication, and it, quite simply, they are the eyes and ears for all of our competitors and our safety team, an extra set of safety protocols and parameters in place to make Road America one of the safest racetracks in the world.
So there you go, Robin. And I was online, and I saw prominently displayed on your site is that you were looking for some volunteers and needed some, and always looking for people who are interested in lending a hand.
Absolutely. You know, we're very, very fortunate and very blessed that we have people in the area that love coming to Road America, and they've been coming to Road America for generations, and their kids and grandkids come to Road America. So they volunteer their time at the gates, or they'll volunteer their time doing many other things. It's also a great way for groups to get involved to raise funds for a group fundraiser. Let's say you have a local volunteer fire department or a local Lions Club, or just your own sort of fundraising group, and you're wondering how do we raise funds aside from a regular broth fry or a lemonade stand. Well, you can actually have everybody work at Road America during a race, and a fee will be donated to your fundraising group in return for that. So that's where volunteers are very, very important for us, helping getting people in and out of the gates safely, processing tickets, and especially in today's world where we are doing contactless temperature checks, we are doing contactless ticket scanning. We want to have enough people on site to be able to do that under supervision, of course, to get everybody in and out quickly. So even though you are volunteering, there's still an element of pay, whether it's race tickets or whether it's actual compensation. So those are some great ways to get yourself or your group involved in coming out and enjoying the day or the event, and possibly raising some funds as well.
Well, Robin, thank you again for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Ben in Hudson a chance to join in. Ben, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I was going to ask your guest, is there any chance of getting a world superbike race there? Have you ever looked into that, since they don't have one this year in the United States?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we're constantly in communication with all sorts of series and all sorts of sanctioning bodies. It's definitely a consideration. There's definitely a lot of protocols that need to be brought forth. And sometimes some series have more mandates as far as amenities, whether it be garages or it be runoff areas or things like that. We qualify with the FIA for you know, a lot of different types of events, and World Superbike is one of them. It's really just about making sure that we've got the time and the schedule to do it. We've got all of the amenities in place that work well with the sanctioning body and the series, and then we will move forward from there. But again, we have been considering it. Additionally, we've also been in communications with NASCAR for a potential cup race. There is no guarantees that it will happen, but they are looking at doing more road courses, which is encouraging for us. The only thing that would be extremely difficult, even though we are sanctioned to host Formula One, is the immense amount of construction that would be required for a Formula One race. We have a beautiful facility. We have the capabilities to run Formula One type of cars, but when you look at garage space and grandstands and things like that, it's a little bit far off right now, but we can pretty much run almost every type of series at our racetrack, and you know, we're welcome to start some negotiations with any sanctioning body that's interested. And we have been talking with World Superbike, and we have been talking with NASCAR as well. So keep your fingers crossed. You never know what might pop up. And we encourage people to pay attention to the schedule at RoadAmerica.com because the schedule is probably the best way to know what's happening on track at Road America.
Ben, thank you. Let's go to Tom in Milwaukee next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to say I had the opportunity to see the great Nicky Hayden ride the Honda in the American Superbike races several years ago, and the year before he went to MotoGP. My question is I know several years ago you tried to get MotoGP there, and I always said it would be a great, great venue because you could draw from the Chicago market, but it just never seemed to take hold, and I was wondering if there's any updates on that.
Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very good question. You know, MotoGP is near and dear to the hearts of many of us, and as well as Nicky Hayden has raced here. I've also worked with Roger and Tommy Hayden as well when they raced with Kawasaki, and the Hayden family are just incredible, and our hearts go out to the family with the loss of Nicky in 2017. We did a kind of a tribute to him in 2018 here. But when it comes to MotoGP, it's always a very difficult decision. And we like to quote, you know, some famous quotes from NASA and also the first Mercury astronauts. Funding is what makes this rocket go up. And, you know, we have to have the right kind of funding and the right kind of title sponsor and the right kind of support from the sanctioning body and the series before we can ever really entertain having MotoGP here. If you look at what something of the equivalent of MotoGP, World Superbike, or even Formula One require from a sanctioning fee, those are some pretty astronomical figures. Our fans here in the Midwest are the most incredible fans in the world. Our fans nationally are the most incredible fans in the world, but we really need the support from some national or international corporations to make an event of that caliber work. It takes a lot of moving parts, billions of moving parts, and hundreds of people to put on a successful event. And something like that is something we would love to entertain. But again, you got to have the right funding and the right people in place, and everything sort of has to align perfectly. And God willing, the weather holds out as well. So that's something we can't control, but at the same time, it's certainly exciting. We're always open to talking with various sanctioning bodies and series, and we always love it when officials and, you know, officers from these sanctioning bodies come to visit us and watch our events, and they say how much they love Road America, and we always like to kind of give them a little nudge and say, well, why don't you bring your series here? And they're like, well, you know, so it's fun to watch them be fans.
Jim in Winnebago County, we go to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. This is a great show. I'm a competitor at Road America in the vintage world. You know, it's sometimes said that some people collect art and we race it. So for those people that are looking to actually get up and close and personal with both the drivers and the cars, this is an opportunity to see things really from right. You can get your head under the hood, and some of us let people even sit in our cars, and on occasion we'll take some individuals for a ride with us. unlike some of the bigger name races, like NASCAR races or F1 races, you can really be part of the action, and it's less expensive for the spectator, obviously less expensive cars, but definitely something to actually be attending to. The VSCDA, the Vintage Sports Car Drivers Association, hosts a really large gathering there in September called the Elkhart Lake Vintage Festival, including the road course reenactment, a car show downtown at the Ostop. It's just a really tremendous place to do things. And as someone who's raced all over the nation, including Road Atlanta, Watkins Glen, Portland International, Virginia International Raceway, I can tell you that Road America is the destination site if you're really wanting to be a competitor.
Wow. Jim, thanks very much for calling. John, that's music to your ears to hear.
Yeah, you can't get much better than that. You know, people always ask me what some of my favorite events are, and our vintage events are truly that. This gentleman put it in a brilliant perspective that you can really get up close and personal to the cars. You can learn a lot about the history of these cars. A lot of these racers, eventually, they don't just wipe these cars down with a diaper and keep them in the garage. They get out and they race them. We're incredibly proud of what they do. We're incredibly proud at how much they work hard to not only preserve the history, but show the history off and talk to people. And my favorite events are our vintage events, and we're lucky to have three of them every year. And the Elkhart Lake Vintage Festival is coming up in September. So if fans want to check that out, that's a great way to learn about the beginnings of racing. Everything from pre-war cars to modern era Le Mans cars, Indianapolis 500 racers, Formula One racers will be here. Some of the big bore cars from the Trans Am era of the late 60s and early 70s will be racing, about 10 to 11 different groups. And it's really incredible, because if you're a fan of any brand of car, whether it be BMW, Alfa Romeo, Chevy, Ford, you know, Lotus, you name it, they are all here. And you can really get an eyeful of seeing history. You know, people go to a museum and they'll stare at a display. Here you get to see history on the track. And it's really incredible that these competitors love to do that and love to get out here and enjoy it. And it is very open to everybody. People can walk amongst the cars, the paddock, and see everything, grab a bite to eat from one of our concession stands, and learn all about these incredible machines and how they were developed and raced, and now how these wonderful vintage competitors are keeping that dream alive.
Well, Jim, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Let's get a caller in, Brian from West Bend, next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Love the topic. So, long-time family history up at Road America. My grandfather actually worked at a former stand that you just updated, the former St. John the Baptist stand. So I have a very intimate history with Road America, going up there as a young child, seeing the old IMSA cars, old Indy cars, so love it. So now I'm taking my kids up. For last year, we were up there for Vintage Weekend. But my question, John, for you is, do you think, you mentioned in a previous caller that a lot of money needs to be put into the track itself to maybe attract a larger venue like F1. But I'm wondering, is there any plans in the near future for the grandstand on the front stretch to be updated, or even a pit wall or pit lane? What are the next steps for the updates?
We have a capital improvement plan. That's a really, really good question. We have a capital improvement plan at Road America that we look at year after year. One of the good things about Road America is that we're constantly reinvesting funds into the facility. Probably one of the few road courses in the country that still does that. And we don't really rely too much on outside funding for that. We put what we make on our races, what we have done, and put it back in the facility. Our new St. John's concession stand is one example. Our new paddock shop several years ago, Victory Lane, such as that. Fencing, PA systems, everything to improve the quality of the experience for the fans. We like to tell people, come for the experience and stay for the race. So yes, there are plans in place to upgrade and improve various smaller of the grandstand areas that we have, such as turn one, turn five, fencing, catch fencing, guard walls. We are one of the safest facilities in the world as far as racing goes, because fans are far enough away from the track to where we don't really have to be concerned due to our catch fencing and our guard walls that are in place. There's things that people see that are upgrades, such as St. John's the Baptist stand in the paddock and the paddock shop. And there's things that fans don't see, maybe for some catch fencing or maybe some extended runoff areas or maybe some improved guard walls. So those things are always evaluated every single year based on our profits, and we constantly reinvest that into the facility. Case in point, we repaved our motorplex, our go-kart track, several years ago to make it better for all of our up-and-coming racers, and that was a very substantial upgrade to the facility. The new concession stand in the paddock for St. John's the Baptist was another one. So there's something every year that's on deck, and these are also things that are currently on the priority list to do. So, yes, we encourage people to stay tuned, stay up to date to what's going on at Road America, and come back year after year, because you're always going to see something new, whether it's the main gate or it's new fencing or new grandstands. We're putting something in new every year.
Brian, thanks again. Bev emailed to ask how she can find out what dates and times are available for walking or biking around the track.
Absolutely. Dates and times are Monday and Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. from May through September. So you can go to roadamerica.com. You can also pay cash at the gate. It's only $5, and you can also get a season pass for, I believe, $60. So it's very easy to do. And you know, Monday and Wednesday, 6 to 8, run, bike, or walk at Road America.
And a big, in the last minute or so, or last, you got big event this weekend.
Oh, we're super excited. The NTT IndyCar Series Rev Group Grand Prix, presented by American Medical Response. It's going to be a doubleheader. Everything kicks off July 9th through the 12th. Two races, Saturday and Sunday, two full IndyCar races. And the best part about it is that first responders, police, fire, and EMS, active first responders, get in free with ID at the gate. So it's our way of giving back to these people who have been on the front lines during all of this. And again, we also encourage people to spread out, practice social distancing, wear masks where social distancing is difficult, bring their masks, and also wash their hands or use our hand sanitizing station. Road America is the safest place to watch a race because you have 640 acres to spread out and watch an event with your family. You can't get much better than tailgating while watching IndyCars on track. So Rev Group Grand Prix, presented by AMR, this weekend, IndyCar racing at its best, Saturday and Sunday.
John, thanks so much for being with us today. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it, and I hope we'll have a chance to do it again. Thanks, John.
We thank you, and we thank our fans again, roadamerica.com, for info.
John Edward, the communications director for Road America. Kind of fun learning about all the things going on there. Man, hope you can stay with us. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll be talking about paddling, pedaling, and camping at 11. And then we'll learn about a waterfall that disappeared off the maps here in Wisconsin. But in the meantime, I hope you'll stay with us. There's lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.